Hello, everyone. I'm Morgan with Mercer Island Football Club. I'm the acting president while Scott Lieber is out on sabbatical. We're just going to give folks a few more minutes to fill in here, and we'll try to do a soft start here in about 3 to 4 minutes. Well, folks, we're just gonna wait another minute or two here, let folks fill into the meeting here. Just stay with us and we'll get started here in about 2 minutes. Okay, I think we'll go ahead and get started. Let me just start with some introductions and a little bit of a agenda. So first of all, as we kind of move through the presentation, folks, feel free to drop questions into the chat, and we'll be trying to answer that at the end of our Q&A, but hopefully the presentation should cover a lot of that. I'm going to start with just some opening remarks. I'm going to then turn it over to Mercer Island FC's Director of Community and Soccer, Sean Morris, who will kind of walk us through the sort of basics here as we kind of navigate both a little bit of a change to our competitive programs, as well as this year we'll be making a change from birth year to school year, and he'll kind of provide a little context on that as well. We'll have some representatives from East Side here as well to talk a little little bit about the club and give you some orientation there, and then we'll have some question and answer for folks. So let's go ahead and get started, and let me just welcome everyone. Again, my name's Morgan Shook. I am the acting president for Mercer Island Football Club, while Scott Lieber is currently on sabbatical, traveling to some exotic places. So hopefully he's having a great time. Just a little bit about me. I've been involved in the club, I would say, going on 11 years now. My kids, I have two girls, both of them played micro soccer. I coached their early rec teams. They started moving into select and then into our competitive programs, and have been participants in our Excel partnership with Bellevue the last couple of years. I've served as obviously as a coach, a volunteer coach, but also as a team manager. So I have a pretty good sense of this. I'm not a soccer person per se, but I am somebody who really believes that kids should have a great exposure and experience to sports, and the things that they take away are probably have more to do with the things they learn on and off the field as opposed to the soccer side of it. And so, but it's a great way for them to exercise, socialize, and all those pieces. So, let me just say, start here and say, we are very, very, very excited for this partnership with Eastside via Eastside West. And we'll get into exactly why that is. But I think I wanted to say there are three big reasons. The first reason is just recognizing who Mercer Island Football Club is. We're a community club, right? Our job is really to focus on grassroots soccer, helping kids fall in love with the game here on the island, right? And have that sort of be the center of what we're trying to do. Build a lot of community, build that those relationships with each other and with soccer. But we know, right, that we have a lot of talented kids on the island, and they're looking for more in the game sometimes. And I think Sean has coined this term of we want to be a place where kids who like the game have a place, kids who love the game have a place, and the kids who really live the game can have a place. And Excel was really an opportunity to try to stretch into that space. But then it strained a little bit about who we are and what we're capable of as a community club. And so this partnership, when we thought about what could we do to sort of really grow from where we are, is really based on trying to find a partner who we shared a lot of those same principles with and who could really complement us in providing a pathway for our boys and our girls within the club in a partnership that gave them that full access of experience, whether they sort of like live or sorry love or live the game, right? And that means, like, well, are you playing recreation soccer? Are you playing select soccer? Do you want something a little more advanced? And we'll talk about with Eastside FC West, or are you looking at something extremely kind of at the national level with the ECNL? And as part of that, we really wanted a partner here who shared that sort of those values and that vision where kids could train locally, right? Particularly when they're young, stay close to home in their community with their friends in their neighborhoods, and then as they're ready, kind of step up, kind of make some choices. And those choices are always sort of guided and not required. It's really making sure we put players and families first, and that making sure that you're in control of that. And so we're really excited that we found a partner in Eastside, and you'll get to meet a couple of those individuals in their leadership, executive leadership position as part of this this presentation tonight. The third thing is, and this is something from when the reason I joined the board here is I really wanted us to have a better day-to-day experience for our families and kids. I think that means always having great coaching and having local training, right? We all live pretty busy lives. It's a big strain on us to try to kind of get our kids, get home, if you're there or you're working, right, and get them to practice and sort of minimize that time where you're in transit. And so, and you want that. Also, right, we want sound operations. You want a great sort of like just consumer experience, right? Is my team run well? Is the club have the resources to do that? And, whether that's scheduling, communication, supporting coaches and families, or even kids who want to move into sort of the college space, can you, does a club have that capacity to deliver on those things? You also want, right, the right size competition. I think as we've seen in our with our teams, right, You don't want an experience where a team has too many wins, too many losses, right? It either one, it doesn't help them develop from a competitive perspective, or two, it can just be kind of a real sort of emotional downer on the experience, right? And you're not learning a whole lot in that experience. And then the last thing on the day-to-day side is we really wanted to keep travel to find teams in that competitive level and leagues that minimize that windshield time, right? There are a host of great clubs locally that have a similar sort of experience from that sort of rec to, ECNL experience with a lot of depth. That means we don't have to travel very far to have really competitive games, right? Not that travel's not a bad thing. It's good to take those trips. It's good family thing. It's good for the kids to learn like that. But when it becomes a week in, a week out sort of exercise of going to all places, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, right? To play competition that you would think is easily substitutable more locally, that becomes a real challenge. So, bottom line, what we're trying to make sure we have here is an experience for family that is rooted in our community, but that has an elite ceiling so that our kids can get more touches, more development, more joy out of the game, and have a clear path for any player that really wants to climb that. And so I'll just close with that sort of opening statement, and I'm going to turn it over to Sean to really talk about the nuts and bolts of this, of how we think this really works. But in the end, I'll say we are super excited to be working with Eastside on this. Just a little factoid for folks that know, Mercer Island is one of five local community clubs that actually created the charter for Eastside to be the premier experience. And we are really excited to lean into that sort of origination many, many, many years ago. And I'll probably also speak for our Eastside folks who will jump in. They're equally excited to sort of connect with us on this to sort of provide that pathway from our local community club to our premier regional club. Sean, I'll go and turn it over to you to walk us through some of the specifics.
Thanks, Morgan, and thanks everyone for taking the time to be here tonight. I know we obviously hosted something similar last week, but as Morgan led in with, is that we want to get a lot more detail and get some more directed questions to where we can dedicate time to everybody to really explain what this is and why we're so excited about it, and then provide information so people can make effective choices for their kids and for their families. Whether that is, embarking on this new competitive pathway that we are creating, or whether that's staying within the community club, which, we're really, really excited about. And, I've been working in the club for nearly 2 years now. And, the one thing that continues to stand out as, a real defining feature within MIFC, and I even talk with other clubs and people who've worked within the club and worked at other clubs, and they say that there's the defining feature is the community. The engagement of people and what it means to everyone to represent the MI community, to play for this club and to have involvement with it, I think is it's very unique and very distinctive. And so that was a really driving element for me in terms of what we wanted to do next. When we knew that, when Bellevue informed us that they were going the Albion route and we had some decision making to go through, that was where it was rooted from, is how do we really continue to serve the community, to put players first, and then just provide opportunities for kids, for coaches, for families, for anyone who's involved to have that best opportunity, no matter what that is. We want micro soccer families to love micro soccer. We want rec families to love rec, select families to love select. And then those who are, going to be competing with Eastside West, we want them to love that experience too. And we want then those kids who want even more to be able to go to ECNL and ECNLR and push beyond and have those higher ambitions. We want to make sure we're working with someone who shares our enthusiasm for that community and for player development and for the experience, and then also promotes that higher level competition. And we're really excited. I echo Morgan's thoughts around the excitement of landing with Eastside. I know we've been partners with them in the past, and I think what we've created here, and they're matching us in their excitement to create something really special here that, reinforces the EYSA, which is a great and very special association on its own, and then allows us to continue to have that freedom and autonomy to operate MIFC programs uninterrupted. And all we're doing really is creating more pathways and more opportunities for kids while reaffirming our commitment to serve the community the best way that we possibly can at all levels. I was fortunate to play around the world, play professionally. I played locally at a high competitive level. I played collegiately. I played professionally here in the US and then in six other countries. So I've been very fortunate through this game to see it from a lot of different lenses, and then coaching for a long time now of a 20 plus year coaching career. And so it really means a lot to me to provide opportunities for kids and make sure that every single player who wants to be a part of this has an opportunity and has an opportunity to have a really spectacular experience no matter what level they're playing at. So with that, as we're leading in, just moving forward, let's see if I can get this to behave. There we go. Again, just reiterating our commitment to MIFC programs, where it was very, again, important to us that we continue to operate all community-based programs under the MIFC banner. We want to retain our identity and want to continue to serve our community. We have over 61 years now as a club of working in this area, and it didn't feel right that that would disappear. And so we really want to retain our commitment to micro soccer at the introductory level, recreational soccer, our juniors, which is our first intro to competitive and working with paid coaches, and then moving up into our select programming where it's a tryout-based program, and then there's the option to potentially play year-round. So there's your summer fall experience, and then progressing into the winter state tournaments, and then spring select as an additional option for, again, players who really want to pursue the game and like and love the game, but maybe they want to be a multi-sport athlete and they're not ready to dedicate 100% of their time to it, or they need a little more development time. It just fits their commitment. It fits where they're at with their development. So we really want to get into that stage two as we go through this of making sure every program is equally valued. And that includes not devaluing select for the sake of, what is perceived as a higher competitive option. That option suits a certain base of players, and select is a fantastic option, even for those players who are highly motivated and want to do more. Sometimes they just need that time in that development environment that is within select to help them bridge that time, because all players develop at different rates. And we want to make sure that they remain in a supportive environment, but a competitive and development-oriented one, so they continue to have every opportunity to progress. And so we want every player at every level to have all the opportunities that they're seeking and never feel like they're being inhibited or that they're missing out, because I know that becomes a concern that someone feels, oh, if I don't make this team, I'm not in that program, I'm not at this level by this age, I don't have a chance, I'm falling behind. I can speak from experience of being an underperforming 14-year-old to end up having an over a decade-long pro career. You have time. The players have time. They will get opportunities. They need to push and they need to be patient and they need to, be in a place where they are supported and believed in. And that's exactly what we want to do. So we really want to reiterate how valuable each of these programs are to us. Me personally, as someone who's lived the experience of how valuable all of these are, I started out as a rec player and moved up there. It's really, really important to us that we hammer home, all of these community-based programs and the things that are so important to us. Oh, one thing I want to go on to is if people have questions, feel free to pop them into the chat function that we have, and then we'll go into those at the FAQ at the end. So if they're not addressed anywhere throughout this presentation, or we don't get into any kind of our pre-populated FAQ questions, feel free to throw those in there and we'll get to them at the end. So moving into here with Eastside West, what I want to do now is actually take a moment to introduce Tom Bialik, who's the director of Eastside FC, and he can share his thoughts on, their vision for what we're trying to do here and their shared excitement. So Tom, I'm happy to hand it over to you. I believe Tom is here.
There we go. Technical difficulty, just trying to unmute myself.
It happens.
Let's see if I can turn my camera on. Give me 2 seconds. Apologies. There we go. Thank you, Sean, for the introduction. I don't know if my camera's working or not. I'm Tom Bielek. I'm the director of soccer for Eastside FC. I've been with this club for coming up on 30 years now. And I think what Sean shared with you just now that resonates the most with me is that there's a place in this game for all players. And what we're attempting to build with Mercer Island is a pathway that meets the needs of all the players at various levels. And what we're seeking to do is to educate and inform on what that pathway is, and then to guide families and to guide individual players so that they're on that pathway and they pick the choice that is best for them. There's not a level of play that's more important than the next, but what you will find as you progress up the pathway, the commitment level, the talent level, what's required of the player increases. And again, rec soccer is great. Club select soccer is great. There's all sorts of opportunities to learn and take the game in such a way that you become a lifelong passionate fan of the game of soccer. I just left Preston Park. That's why I was a few minutes late here. We just had our senior send-off, and it was pretty neat. We had all the kids form a big tunnel, and it was probably stretched all the way across one of our fields. And we had a little presentation for our seniors. Many of our kids who had been with us for 10, 11 years had a ceremony and then had them run through the tunnel. And it's pretty emotional when you start to see kids that spent their whole childhood with us. And I think what we tried to impart on these kids as they move through life, come back to the club, be part of the community, know that we're always here. And what I tell our coaches at every turn, you don't really know the impact that you've had on your players until these kids are 25 and 30 and they're out in the real world. And so really, soccer is the forum for excellence. It's an opportunity for kids to have great experiences, to love the game, but also to learn and to grow and to understand what it takes for them to be as good as they can be at something. And if we've done our job right, in time, these players in the future, when they're looking for a job promotion, or when they're a husband, or they're in a different part of their career, there's good things that they learn from sport that make them more successful in life down the road. And so we can do both. We can have a great time, we can enjoy the game, and we can learn lifelong lessons. So we are very excited to do this partnership with Mercer Island. And again, there's not a right or a wrong answer for you. There's a fit that is best for you and your player. And we hope to enable you to make the right choice for your son or daughter. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, so I think, it's pretty clear for everyone. There's a lot of excitement about what we're doing here, and then a lot of commitment to making sure we provide the right opportunity for every player, regardless of level, ambition, commitment, any of those factors. We just want kids to feel looked after, to know that they're cared about, to know that they're prioritized, and that their experience is valued at every single level that we can offer them. To then give them those life skills that Tom mentioned and just make sure they have a terrific sporting experience. So then diving into a little bit around the details of Eastside West, there's plenty of information here and we will publicly share this out. So this meeting's being recorded and then we'll share this out as well. So if anyone misses anything, it's going to be made publicly available. But just looking at kind of some three key items that we really wanted to address that we think are important for everyone to understand and know, and then also highlight some of the, exciting facets of what this program is. So looking at, tryouts and team selection, all the players are going to be assessed collectively, in Preston at a group tryout across an entire age group. So every player has an equal opportunity to go and be looked at. But within that, players are going to be permitted to choose the location of their preference. So regardless of the offer that you receive, you can choose where you would prefer to be and then make that decision after the fact. So either leading into the tryouts, you can indicate where you'd want to be. And then afterwards, based on the offers you receive, decisions are also in the power, the sorry, decisions are up to the players. So they have the power to make that choice for themselves. So the families and players, decision making is the real key driving factor there on top of the offers that are made. One thing we want to highlight too is that anyone who registers for an Eastside tryout is able to participate in MIFC tryouts for free. So we're not going to be double charging anybody. We want everyone to feel as few barriers as possible to explore the options that they want to explore. So we just want to make sure that everyone says, I'm not feeling inhibited. I have every opportunity to go and try out where I want to try out. And there's going to be, as few barriers as possible in the way for everyone to be able to do that. We also schedule our tryouts accordingly, where ours will follow, which is in line with the EYSA guidance and bylaws, where Eastside tryouts will happen first, and then EYSA member clubs will have their tryouts afterwards. One exciting thing, Morgan touched on this early, is we really are seeking out a consistent and reliable competitive experience. And I think as we've kind of explored various leagues and different options and kind of jumped between the offerings, what we found is that's not always the case, that we have some very inconsistent league play, whether that's with heavy travel or games that are very, very unbalanced in terms of the competitiveness and the nature of the score line. And so within the RCL, what we have are some of the region's most established clubs that have been doing this for a very long time, and therefore putting together very consistent rosters, very stable teams. The league play is very balanced. So I've gone looking through, and we've been checking through, and anyone we can invite to look through the league standings. And you see exactly what we're seeking, where all games are decided by an average margin of 2 goals or less. And that is really what we want from this competitive experience, is that players are not in blowout games by huge margins in favor and huge margins against. All of the games should be very competitive, very balanced, decided between 1 to 2 goals, where then that's true competition, that's where true growth is going to happen, and that's the real proper competitive experience that we're looking for. When we're forming our teams, so within Eastside West, and then we're placing them in a league. So one thing we wanted to make clear is that there's not a hierarchical nature of the location. So just because a team is an Eastside West team does not mean they will inherently be placed lower than an Eastside Preston team. Every team is going to be assessed based on its own merit and then placed accordingly based depending on the needs of those particular players. So if those players demand that they're in RCL 1, they'll be placed in RCL 1. If they demand to be placed in a different division, they're going to be placed in the appropriate division to give them that best competitive experience. And then there's flexibility within that. If they end up excelling and performing too well, we'll move them up. If they're having a difficult time, then we can look at moving them down. But the objective is that we're going to spend the spring after the tryouts hosting games and trainings and getting a really good grasp of where those players are going to land and then placing them in the appropriate league for them. But that's, again, going to be merit-based and assessed individually on a team-by-team basis rather than dictated by location. And then a big benefit, as was mentioned before, of the RCL is that it's very locally based. There's no teams out of state, and the average travel is within a 50-mile radius of the Seattle area. So Mercer Island and Bellevue end up being quite centrally placed in terms of reaching a lot of the games. You're typically playing in this area, and so travel is very, very minimal, to prioritize being able to access high quality local games. And then the last facet that we really are excited about is the player pathway. For me, as a director and someone who is very, very excited about coach education, it's also a coaching pathway. But prioritizing the players here is that every single player is a part of the ECNL-R and ECNL pathway, regardless of their team or location. So there's no player says, oh, because you're playing in Eastside West, you do not have the opportunity to go train and trial and have this opportunity within an ECNL team. As we mentioned, all the tryouts are held collectively. And so any player has an opportunity to be seen at the tryout process as well as throughout the year. We will be assessing players and determining if a guest playing opportunity should be made available or guest training opportunity should be made available. So then every player is constantly being viewed, assessed, and having that opportunity provided for them. The tryouts are organic and honest process. They're merit-based. So every player just gets looked at, gets seen, and is provided an according offer. And then reiterating the point that player choice is really a driving factor. So if someone gets a great offer over at Eastside in Preston, but they really like their group here at Eastside West and they want to stay, that's going to be respected and that's going to be honored. Likewise, if a player gets a good offer to play at Eastside West, but they see that they have a great opportunity to go and progress further and higher into Eastside Preston, they're going to be allowed to go and do that. So players are going to get to decide. It's one collective entity that we're really trying to operate where player choice is respected and prioritized above all else. Just taking a quick look as we look into the league things, took a sample of a particular girls' age group, just to kind of have an idea of what a cross-reference looks like in terms of that league expectation, and that league commitment. So on the left here, we see what this group in the RCL is made up of. And we can see there that the furthest travel that exists is out at Gig Harbor. Everything else is essentially on the 405 corridor, with Snohomish and Federal Way, or Washington Premier down in Federal Way, being the only that actually bring you onto I-5. Everything else is really contained, really close by. Seattle's a quick jaunt over. So they're great games. These are really, again, really established, strong clubs that are locally based and are going to provide minimal travel. Whereas something in the line of the GA Aspire, that's going to have, again, games that you're going to play against a variety of clubs. Some clubs do overlap, but what you see there is that there's a pretty significant amount of travel for games that may be of a comparable level. So that's not to disparage any league or anything. It's just to give a very clear picture of, as people are making decisions, what does that commitment look like? So again, this is not to promote one over the other. It's just to give a very clear picture that if we're making decisions around why we decided where we wanted to go, and then as families decide what they want to do, making sure we have all those factors available and everybody understands exactly what they're committing to. So then, yeah, just looking at girls' teams options, we're going to do similar with boys' teams of just really what the roadmap is, what the opportunities are. And the short of it is that we've created a very complete pathway for players, where at every single level they have opportunities to play, whether that's at the recreational level, the select level at Eastside West or Eastside ECNL and ECNLR. Every player at every ability level, every ambition level, has a great, viable, and well-supported opportunity to go and play. And so that's equivalent for boys and girls. But it was really important for us, especially as we were seeking this change of, we felt that the girls area, the girls part of the programs were underserved. And that was a huge benefit for us, where ECNL is by and large the pinnacle of girls soccer in this region. In terms of competitiveness, the quality of the teams, that is the very, very peak of the premier pathway here in Washington State. And then we wanted to make sure, though, that we provided opportunities at every single level below that. And with retaining MIFC programs, with working to create Eastside West, and then this great collaboration with Eastside for access to the ECNL pathway, we're really confident that this is a robust pathway that provides everything for every single player at every level, which was, again, so fundamental for us to make sure that nobody was left behind. We're not sacrificing any program for the benefit of another. There will be no forming of a team just to form a team and stripping players away from a level where they actually want to be. We're going to make sure that kids are placed where they want to be. We're going to form teams that make sense to form, to make sure they're at the right competitive level and they're going to have the right experience and they're going to have the opportunity to play how they want to develop, to be looked after, and just have the overall general soccer experience that they're looking for. And then we see in the boys, it's uniform. They have the equal opportunities. They're going to get to play and have the same pathways as the girls, which again was something that was very important to us, that no player based on age or gender has any limitation for what opportunities they have within our club, within our partnership, and within Eastside FC, as within their programming as well. We want to treat it very much as a collective whole. We're all working in this together to prioritize players and put kids first and make sure that they get opportunities that they're looking for. Moving into a very fun additional topic here, which is the age group change. So as many people have heard, we're moving away from, per US soccer, is moving away from birth year and going back into the school year age groups. So that's going to come into place this coming fall. So this upcoming tryout cycle is the first place where that's going to be happening. One of the major points that they wanted to do this for was we had something called trap teams, where any team that had players who were divided between eighth grade and ninth grade, that team would get broken up when their high school season came. And then there was this kind of uncomfortable leftover group of players of eighth graders who didn't really have a team anymore. And what ended up happening with that a lot of the time was it contributed to player attrition or players just leaving the sport or leaving the clubs. And so, because it was very challenging to provide a consistent, stable, competitive experience for them, a training experience for them, and that fracturing of a season and fracturing of a team made it very difficult to keep things sustainable. So that was the main driving point behind why they made this change. And so we have to go and address that. And everyone, it's mandatory across all the teams, all the programs at all levels. So we're going to be working around that. There's going to be conversations about player movements that are going to happen at the team and player level. So coaches and club leadership are going to be available to have conversations around players who are close to cutoff dates or have been playing with a particular group. Our objective is continuity wherever we can find it, but it's also to create the understanding that all the teams are likely going to be changing just because of this age group restructuring. So we have to be willing to embrace that teams are going to be likely looking a bit different from how they have been, while understanding too that the clubs and the coaches and everyone are going to be working to try to find that continuity wherever we can, keep groups and cohorts together as much as it's possible and as much as it makes sense to make sure we're still putting kids in the right development and competitive environment. And then moving into, the.
Maybe Sean, before maybe we
Yes.
get into the FAQs, maybe just a kind of very simple kind of example, or a couple of typical examples of like how this is going to work. So I'll just leave. I've got a rising ninth grader next year who currently plays on an Excel team. What she would do would be, and she's continuing to be interested in playing high level competitive soccer. She would go to the Eastside tryout and be evaluated. Based on that evaluation, the coaches may say, "Wow, she's a heck of a player. We'd love to have her on on the ECNL team, right?" And it would be, her choice to take that up. If she were to say yes, she would then join the Preston-based ECNL team. If the review of her placement is, we actually think she's pretty strong, and she's probably could play at an RCL, one level. We have a team at Preston, or, she could go play on, if she wants to stay more local, just play on the Mercer Island team. So at that point, she would be offered the choice to say, "Hey, do you want to, join the Preston-based team or the Mercer Island-based team?" To play on at an RCL level. And so that would kind of be that family choice to sort of be guided through that process. And that's really what this partnership is doing in this case, is providing that player that sort of RCL kind of, kind of the fat middle of the competitive spectrum of the soccer landscape, an opportunity to train, to have access to those leagues, be on a deep competitive team. And then play locally here on Mercer Island. And so I would say, as I think about it from a parent's perspective, right, the upside here for her to say train locally is that Eastside is a huge club, has quite a huge player pool base that tries out. And one of the things the partnership allows us to do is for those kids who are maybe in the sort of Bellevue Mercer Island space, is to form fairly strong competitive RCL teams, right? So it's not, Tom and I have talked about this. It's not unreasonable to think that there's quite a few kids who are playing in Preston who might actually opt to play a little closer to home if they're in sort of the Bellevue Mercer Island area. And so it allows us to kind of like reshore a lot of those kids in that space, but also then creates capacity for the Preston-based teams in that RCL space to sort of form with kids a little maybe where Preston is a little more closer to home. And so that would be kind of an example of sort of how the sort of player pathway would work there. I would say that's also then, Nicole asked a great question of who should try out. And so I would say, the kids who are in that competitive space, who were committed to sort of play year-round soccer at a high level, or would be kind of the candidate person, families that we would think would try out in that space. And then at the edges, and Sean, I'd be curious for your take on this, and maybe even Tom, the kids who are like currently in select, right? Who are just like, are still kind of growing. And I think it's really a choice of like, how much do they want to test the waters, right, and see where they stand. Because as part of that evaluation process, I think the coaches are always trying to make sure that kids land in the right competitive environment. And so if they're ready to kind of grow, maybe take the step into an RCL environment, that's great. But maybe the select environment would also be really the right spot for them to kind of grow, given their interest, time, other commitments in that space. But Sean, Tom, anything you want to add to some maybe the edge cases of like what who should be trying out in the East Side, West and East Side sort of spectrum?
Yeah, I'm
Thank you,
happy to.
Morgan.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
I think it's always a good opportunity for kids to go to a tryout and just experience and see where they stack up. And I know sometimes it's a little unsettling. There's a little bit of fear when you're going into something that you don't know. But very quickly, when you get out on the field, you start to get an appreciation for other players. And I think the advantage of having a big club is that we have teams that are made up of players of a consistent level and commitment level. And so I think what you find is that you're playing with peers that want the same thing that you want. And I think when we're in a smaller player pool, maybe sometimes we have kids that are all in and this is what they really want, all the way down to kids who aren't completely sold on what they're doing or why they're playing. I think getting kids lined up with teams where they're with other players of similar interest and ability leads to a good experience. And so I would encourage players, even if they don't want to play out at Preston, come out and measure yourself. Come out and try it out. And I've seen over the years players who initially were kind of hesitant and they didn't really know, well, I'm not really sure if that's for me. They put their toe in the water, and before long, they're like, wow, I really love this. So I think there's nothing wrong with staying home and staying local. And there's nothing wrong with stretching yourself and maybe getting outside your comfort zone. But as Sean has said, and as Morgan has said, that choice will be for the player. And so there's not going to be pressure on you to accept one spot over another. We just want to help you understand what your choices are so that you can make the right level choice for you. Commitment, I think, is the biggest difference as you start to go through the various levels. When you look at recreational soccer, the commitment level is lower. When you get into club select, it's more serious and it helps with kids that are basketball players and other sports. And when you get into premier, while there's still the opportunity to play other sports, it is definitely something that you want to balance and think about your life. You don't want to get yourself in a situation where you're overcommitted, because then what ends up happening is nothing's fun because you're tired all the time. So finding that right balance for you and your interest, that's what this project is about, and that's why we are here collectively to help meet those needs for you guys.
Yeah, I agree with everything Tom said there. Again, it really is a lot defined by that commitment, but we want to make sure every player who even has the curiosity knows that they have the opportunity. And so it does not matter where you're playing at and what level you've been at and how experienced you feel that you are as a player, the opportunity is going to be there. And then the conversation that follows will be the recommendation on where you currently are and what the best place we think would be for you relative to the level, and then providing that guidance and support to enable someone to make their own personal decision. So I don't have any more to add than that. So
Yeah,
now
do you want to
moving
hit?
into,
Yeah,
sorry.
do you want to hit? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I was gonna
Yeah.
say, do you want to hit these, and then we can get the Q&A.
Yeah. So again, we just wanted to touch on some of the key FAQs of one that we've been hearing, especially since we came from, last week's meeting, and then into, as we were thinking about what were the critical things you wanted to address. A lot of this is stuff that we've touched on, but really want to make sure we hit home. Again, will the location determine the pathway or team level? The quick answer is no. All players are an equal part of the pathway, regardless of their team or location. Again, with shared tryouts, that's a very easy way to manage that. And then with club leaders who are advocating and monitoring and working collectively and collaboratively with the coaches, players are going to be afforded every opportunity to progress in the level that they want to and that their performance and commitment level merits. And again, teams are placed in the appropriate division level, so they're assessed by their capacity as a group, not by where they are based. And so really wanting to reinforce, and Tom and I and Chance, who's involved there, as someone who's also been involved as long as Tom, is These teams are not inherently considered lower tier. Every team is assessed on its own merits, whatever that makeup of those players are. They're assessed and placed in the appropriate level. The only differentiation that is by location is that Preston will host ECNL and ECNLR. There is no other hierarchical determinations. Going into the program costs, so EFC programs are on a uniform cost structure, 2018 to 2019. So those, U8, U9 years, they're 2,100, and the remaining programs are 3,400 for the full year. The MFC programs are going to vary again by commitment from our rec, our micros, our juniors. The highest cost participation we have for our, summer fall into the State Cup season for select is 2,100. And then there's the optional spring select that is a small additional fee. And then one note is that tournaments, uniforms, travel fees are not included in those registration fees. And Tom touched on this, and we brought it up, and Morgan did as well, where, how we form competitive teams for Eastside West being a bit of a new entity, but not necessarily new. And again, it's the quality of players that we have access to within Mercer Island and within the Bellevue base that we've established throughout the XL experience. And then just the size of the player pool that's available through Eastside, through their tryouts. I think, their tryouts, I don't want to boast too many numbers, but I think they're turning away 900 to 1,000 players a year. So we see that there's a very strong, adequate player pool where we're going to be able to fill very strong, very stable teams, while also making sure we're only forming teams that have the appropriate roster depth and capacity to compete. Again, we're not forming teams just for the sake of forming teams. We don't want to just populate out 20 teams in an age group. This is about being thoughtful and about providing opportunities and a very great experience for kids at every single level. Players will not be pulled away from select teams if they're not at the competitive level, if they're not at that commitment level, and they prefer to stay locally. They're going to be encouraged to stay within that program. So then we have very strong, very stable select programs as well. And then every player is at the right competitive level and at the right commitment level. And then final main one is, will there be cross-training opportunities? We've talked a lot about this, and that's yes. So there'll be opportunities for teams, Eastside West teams, to actually go and train in Preston. And Preston-based teams will be invited to actually train in Mercer Island and in Bellevue alongside those existing Eastside West teams. So then we have much more of a unified club experience where players are seeing each other from the different areas. There's less fracturing, there's less differentiation where everyone feels they're truly a part of something large, all collectively together. And then there's the merit-based opportunities that are going to be provided to players through guest training, playing in games and tournaments, based on coach and leadership assessments. And those are our main FAQs. So I think what we would move into now is probably addressing the written in questions.
Yeah, I'll start. I think Deanna has asked some good questions here about the tryout process and the team formation. And Deanna, let me know if I'm kind of understanding the question correctly. But I think the first question is what how does this sort of benefit an MI family trying out? And I think hopefully here the clarity is what we're talking about is forming new teams. Preston, right? It has a fixed capacity, of fields and training times and the teams that it can host. And what this acknowledges here is that Mercer Island families are, have access to a brand new set of teams, right? That meet these sort of competitive sort of thresholds that Sean has articulated. And so I think hopefully that's clear that these are new teams really meant to serve the Mercer Island, population. The benefit really being access to the player pathway, access to Eastside sort of operational strength around running teams and the trainings and all that pieces. But these are sort of net new teams that we're going to be forming. So hopefully that answers the question. I think Tom, the only other question maybe is there is like how should families think about access to the top level teams of the ECNL R and the ECNL teams via the pathway.
So it's a good question, Morgan. How we do things is age groups are aware of all the teams and all the players within a given age group. And we routinely will have players from the C team come and train with the B team. We will have kids from the B team go and train with the A team. And over the course of a season, it's merit-based and it's driven by coach collaboration. But as players are evaluated in their own environment, if it looks like they're excelling and they want more, the coaches will talk, and that's how we'll provide the opportunity to move up. I think it's important, particularly for the Mercer Island folks, that there are players that could be on Mercer Island at U10, U11, U12, and then at U13, they decide that, hey, you know what, I really want to give a higher level an opportunity. They have, if the merit of their play dictates that they should be on the ECNL team, it doesn't matter that they came from Mercer Island, meaning they don't need to come over to Preston and start on a lower level team. They're placed on the appropriate level of team based on what they tell us they want to do at tryouts. And so when you register for tryouts, you will have the option of Preston-based teams, Eastside West-based teams that train at Bellevue College, and Eastside West teams that train over in Mercer Island and Bellevue. Based on the selections that you indicate, you will be given offers from the tryout process. But I can stress that there's a lot of collaboration between the coaches. Why this is really exciting to Eastside FC is we know there are a lot of good, talented players that maybe don't want to come to Preston at a young age. Well, we want them within that pathway so that when the time is right for them, they can migrate out to Preston. So hopefully that answered the question. Kind of long-winded.
It's a good question from Deanna. This got raised a little bit here. Sean, do you want to talk a little bit about sort of the leadership structure of Eastside West and the relationship of your role evolving a little bit as the both within MFC as well as Eastside?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm excited personally about the opportunity because I'll continue in my role with MIFC as Director of Soccer and Community, which is a role I really love and enjoy, and then also being the lead director for Eastside West. So all the new teams that we are forming, so any team that we create this season, I will be directly responsible for as the director of that, working in collaboration with. There is an existing director at Eastside Bellevue who they are also rebranding to join Eastside West to again make a very large collective entity that we're excited to be a part of. And he and I will work collectively together to manage programs, working collaboratively and making sure that players are in their locations they want. We're planning and organizing things, you know, as a basis and then as a collective basis. And then Tom is going to be overseeing the whole thing as the Eastside FC director. So that'll kind of be the hierarchical chain of how things function. But I'm excited for that in terms of being able to be a part of the player pathway outside of our club to these higher levels, because what we saw happen so often before was players still wanted to move. And the players who had the ambition, who had the capacity and the commitment and the drive were going and seeking these opportunities out regardless. And sometimes that put them in uncomfortable positions where they felt they were betraying the club, or they had to do it a bit quietly, or they weren't sure how to approach that with leadership or with their coaches. And so, what this allows us to do is say, this is a much more internal process now. It's going to be actively facilitated and supported. And then, players are going to be actively advocated for to find those opportunities at the higher levels, at the higher commitment tiers where they're seeking to go. And we remove kind of that stigma or that concern that they might be letting someone down or they might be putting someone in an unfair position. Everything is going to be happening collaboratively, collectively, and making sure that every player has that pathway. So I'm excited to not only continue my role of dedicating, you know, time and energy to the MIFC club and community, but also to be a part of this larger entity and provide more opportunities for the kids and help advocate for them and just make sure that we're part of an internal pathway that, you know, really embraces what we're about and providing those opportunities for kids.
Great. I'm going to elevate a question here, since we've been talking about it with the pieces. I think, Brian, you asked it, and I think there was an earlier question about whether there was going to be a high school team. And I'll share kind of this sort of feeling here. I'll just read Brian's question. As a rising high school senior, there hasn't been a robust boys select program, which has forced some players to go play Excel. Is there special consideration for kids with 1 year left? And I think in just the plus one, I think what Deanna said, right, this has been the challenge here of having a smaller player base just on the island. You get stuck between a rock and a hard place a lot of the times. And this is one of the reasons why the partnership is so great, because we can draw from a larger player pool and talent base really to supplement our East, and sort of complement our East side West teams to build sort of strong teams at levels. But Sean, do you want to kind of talk a little bit about the high school program and sort of the, I would say the sort of trade-offs between kind of at the tension point between high school select teams or high school East side West teams?
Yeah, so I mean, a couple points there. One, with the age group change, we're hopeful that then that kind of alleviates things with the removal of those trap teams and things being broken up, especially at the that first initial point of, 8th grade to freshman year, where it's going to be hopefully a lot more consistent. But then, like Morgan touched on, of adding to a much larger player base, or adding a much larger player base into what we're doing to build this out, I think is going to do a couple of things. Of one, it's going to allow us to make more consistent, more robust, and competitive teams on a more consistent basis. And then two, it's going to not have kids, as got mentioned, be pulled out of their select teams just to go play XL because that's kind of where the viable team was. The goal is that it's going to put kids back into their community teams because of the challenge and the merit-based nature of it through a larger player pool where kids are going to be provided more opportunity to be where they want to be and where they need to be, as opposed to being forced in a particular direction. And then the intention is always that wherever we can, we want to form an age group specific team. So wherever we're able to do that, that's what we're going to do. Sometimes we end up making high school collective age teams because of the rates of attrition and because we've had that smaller player pool. Now we want to facilitate that with, again, the access to this larger player pool, making Eastside West very robust and stable and very, in, to be very genuine, difficult to get into. We want this to be something that is earned to get into because that's how we really know we're at the competitive level that we're seeking. And then also it makes sure that every player is in the right competitive level for them. So I hope that addresses it, where we're very conscious of the challenges that have existed in the high school space for both boys and girls. But with the age group change, hopefully helping to alleviate that. And then with our ambitions to always, prioritize players being in the right place and then creating everything on a merit-based structure, we're very confident that that is going to lead into teams forming in the right age groups with the right capacity in the right areas that they need to be in.
Okay. Sean, do you want to talk a little bit about our plan for coaching of teams here? And I'll just lead to say is like, we are committed to have the best coaches that we can get, and we are working actively to build out that portfolio of coaches, and we'll have that before tryouts. But do you want to say anything a little bit about the plan for coaching and the what the partnership with Eastside allows us to do?
Yeah, I mean, again, in our quest for continuity, we obviously started with meeting with and talking with our current base of coaches, but also allowing them to just have the equal freedom of choice of where they want to be, where they see their opportunity is, and then allowing them to make that decision. And so we've had coaches who are, moving in multiple directions. And so, like Morgan mentioned, it's an active process where we're having thoughtful conversations with those coaches and presenting opportunities to them to allow them to then make their own decisions of where they want their career to go and what they want to be involved in. And we see that as something that's going to be probably quite organic and probably changing over time, where coaches may end up drifting one way or the other. But again, our goal is always working with really high quality coaches who are motivated, who are eager to work in the methodology that we have, the manner that we have, and work within the expectations that we will set as club leadership and have the standards and expectations. And then Eastside has a great track record of having excellent coaches. And so we're going to continue to work collaboratively. Tom and I talk frequently about this, of identifying coaches, best placements for them to provide the best experience for players. And then we're going to just continue to lean on those additional resources wherever we need to in order to make sure that we're forming really strong, stable teams that are well coached, well prepared, and are giving the right experience to the kids.
Great. There's a quick question about the fields, and I'll just try to say it. I don't know what the quality of the fields are at Preston. The South Mercer fields are new, and those are also owned by the city and the school district. So I don't think the club has any control over sort of the upgrading them. But I don't know, Tom. I feel like they're great fields, but maybe Preston's got some really special ones. Tom, maybe there's a question here on goalkeepers. I think any parent who's got a goalkeeper is always struggling to sort of like figure out how to think about their development going forward. Can you talk a little bit about Eastside's approach to goalkeeping and how that's, and Sean, maybe jump in about how we'll be handling that in Eastside West?
Absolutely. So we have dedicated goalkeeper trainers, and they're out there a couple nights a week. And the goalkeepers come in, and I think they have hour and 15-minute sessions. And it's really neat that they've kind of created their own club within the club, if you will. So the goalkeepers all train together, and there's kind of a fraternity that's pretty neat to see. There's a lot of community around that. Additionally, Sean Rash has been running goalkeeper sessions over for our Eastside Bellevue folks. And we've invited the Lake Hills Club to join us there. We will build this out to meet demand. And I think that's a conversation with Sean and I, where we will determine what the need is, how many goalkeepers there are. We try to get it a ratio of no more than 10 goalies to a single trainer, and we get on a consistent basis. And it's going through fundamentals, everything from shot blocking to how you move your feet to distribution. And we've got them bracketed by age. So we have a younger group and an older group. And the younger kids, as they start to mature and as they start to do really well, sometimes they get invited in to train with the older kids. And what's really neat, there's just a kind of natural mentoring that happens where the older goalkeepers kind of start to take the younger ones in. And pretty powerful to see an older player work with a younger player. And so this is something that we will build on Mercer Island. In conjunction with Sean, it's a detail that we need to kind of flesh out. But as soon as we understand how many teams we formed, there will be a goalkeeper program that our Eastside West, the teams that are at Bellevue College and the ones that are on Mercer Island, will have access to.
Yeah, and that's mirrored a lot with, the structure that we've put in place. This year we were really excited to bring out, goalkeeper specific training. So, we had Charlie come in, who's been doing a great job working with the kids when he's, had his time. He's obviously been away recently on a pro trial. So we're hopeful for him to go and get that. But it's something that we're very dedicated to continuing to provide. I think it's been really well received. He's done a great job, and so we have something on a similar model to what's been built at Eastside. So there's every commitment to ensuring that we continue to provide that for players of all levels. Within MI, we'll continue to provide it for rec players, for select players, and then we'll also be doing it within, the Eastside structure for Eastside West and beyond. So we're really excited to make sure that it's accessible, it's available, and every player who has the excitement and eagerness to go and be a goalkeeper has the equal support that they need.
At least we've got a couple more here. Oh, thank you. What's the major difference between Eastside West and the Albion team? Sean, Tom, you want to talk a little bit about kind of what you see as kind of the big differences here?
Sure. I think the club Eastside FC has been around for a long time. I do not know much about the Albion group, and I'm assuming that it's going to be a majority of the coaches that come from Bellevue United. So I can't really speak too much to their experience. I don't know exactly where they're planning to play. I've heard GA Aspire, but I'm not certain of that. What I can tell you is that the RCL is a very robust local league. And the ability for us to move teams and put them in the situation where they're getting consistent competition, where they're close games, one or two goals in either direction. If they excel, they can move up. If we put them in a division that's too high, we can move them down. But the important thing is that we're putting them in consistent situations where they're getting the competitive need that they have. And I think the other main difference would probably be the travel. So if you're playing in the RCL, you're going to be primarily in the Seattle area, sometimes going to Eastern Washington, maybe going to Vancouver, Washington, or to Bellingham. But 85% of your games are going to be local within 35 minutes of Mercer Island. If you get an opportunity, you can pull up the RCL. There's a website, and just click on your daughter's age group or son's age group, and you can get a sense for where all these teams are and what the makeup is. You can see the goals for, the goals against, and you'll see that a majority of the games are pretty close. And you'll also see that the travel is pretty limited. So I think that understanding your commitment and making an informed choice to know how much travel you're going to have and how many overnight stays, I think those are things that you want to consider as you're looking at which club to select.
Yeah, I think we touched on all that, and I would agree with that in terms of. And then the one highlight I'd add too is just due to Eastside's existence within, this area for so long, the player pool, and then our participation within the EYSA Association will continue to allow us access to a league like the NPSL, as that's associated with US Youth and a part of the EYSA membership.
Hey Tom, can you talk about the naming convention of the current Eastside teams and how you would think that various Eastside West teams would slot into that? I think the question is between red and white and those pieces.
Yes. So if you look at the teams over in Preston, they are hierarchical with ECNL being the top team, ECNL Regional League being the second team, and then it will go to red, then it will go to white. Our existing teams in the Bellevue area, they're currently called Eastside Bellevue, and they are Eastside Bellevue Red, Eastside Bellevue White. In the youngest age groups, we do have two teams. When we get up to the 11-a-side ages, it's a single team. The thinking, and I can share with you how Eastside Bellevue, when they first came in 3 years ago, we placed them in a league that we thought was appropriate for them based on what they did in the summer. And we targeted certain teams. We would schedule a bunch of scrimmages and put them in tournaments. So we got a track record and a sense for what their competitive level was. And from that, we picked the RCL division that best meet their needs or best met their needs. What we're anticipating in this situation is a core of a team will be coming in. If it's an XL team, that will be the core of the team, and that team will be augmented by the tryout process. From that, we will do the same process. We will come in and have scrimmage games and try to get as much of a resume over the summer months to get a sense for what the right competitive level is. So the Eastside West teams in Bellevue are current. They already have a track record, the ones that are in Bellevue. So you can go on and you can see where those teams are placed. And what I would tell you is we would have the teams play against each other. And if the Mercer Island group is stronger, they would go in the league higher than that. If the current Bellevue team is stronger, then we'd probably put them in a division lower. Usually within a season or two, the team forms an equilibrium where we get them to the right level. And then they tend to stay in that division. Maybe they go up a division or they might go down a division. And at that point, it's really a player pathway as well, where there might be some players on teams that are excelling. And if they want more, they do have the opportunity to go to Preston.
Thanks, Tom.
Yep.
Great. Last call for any last questions. Otherwise, we've gone over a little hour here, and I know everybody's got other things they got to do. Thank you very much. You'll see a link here to both the MIFC webpage as well as the Eastside FC page. On both of them, there will be links to Eastside West as well as information on the tryout process. This is obviously most relevant for a lot of high school boys who will have their tryouts here in about a couple of weeks. I see the hand raised. I'll get to that in just a sec. But we'll also continue to give Mercer Island families more information, particularly as the spring tryouts for next year's teams start to roll around. I don't know if there's a date yet, Sean, yet, but I know typically those are end of April, beginning of May.
Yep. What I could actually jump in and share with you guys here, we will be doing age group sessions in February. We're doing them right now for the high school age boys, but later in February, March, and April, we will be doing sessions at Preston where we get the new age groups together and have them train. This is for the players to understand what the player pool looks like. It's also for the coaches to become acquainted with the different kids in different age groups. We will extend this invitation to current XL players to come out and to join those sessions, and you can get evaluated at that time. And from that, we can kind of give you a snapshot of how you might fit in. Final determinations could not be made until tryouts. But what we as a club are hoping to do is know enough about our returning player pool that going into the tryout, we're really only evaluating the kids that we don't know much about. And so there could be, a lot of good information for players that are interested in exploring Eastside to attend these sessions where you can learn about the environment and you'll get a firsthand look at what the competitive nature of the club is.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. B, you got your hand up. Do you have a question you want to ask her real quick?
Yes, so I have question about the timeline and then the way of tryouts, because right now for the same age group there will be different levels. So for the tryout itself, is it going to be a common path that we just try out once, or we need to go with multiple of them to see where there's a good level for my kids? And also
For
about the timeline.
the Eastside teams, they will all try out at Preston together. And notifications will happen within 24 to 36 hours after the last session. So you'll understand what your opportunity is going to be very quickly. And
Okay, I
then
see.
we always follow up with our select-based tryouts. Again, as per the EYSA regulations, we have to allow Eastside tryouts to happen. But we try to get ours as much as possible the day after. So then everyone is, able to work with their decisions based on the information they receive from the previous Eastside tryouts. And then if they want to go and pursue the select tryouts, it's happening immediately after and they don't need to wait 2 weeks.
Gotcha. Then how about the time? When it's going to be for the two?
All the Eastside tryouts are now posted online, and then we are going to get our field allocation here in the next few days, where we will then confirm all of our timings to follow the select tryouts right after. But if you go on the Eastside website now, all of the tryout dates are currently posted.
Okay, sounds cool. Thank you.
Question about we have recorded this. We have a deck. We'll be sending an email out after this that has. This deck, as well as a link to the recorded presentation on our website, so folks will be able to find that information there. Do I have that right, Sean?
Yeah.
Great, great. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Again, thank you everybody for carving an hour and some change out of your evening. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to myself, or more specifically, probably better, Sean. His contact information can be found on our website if you have any specific questions. Thanks again, Tom, for joining us. And everyone, have a good evening.
Thank you.